Hey, Bobby Manning here. Welcome to number 50 of Dome Theory. Last week we had a great discussion with Nicole Cornett. Definitely want to go listen to that interview here about the newest Celtic, Luke Cornett, his background, his family's basketball history, and just a fun group of basketball players and people as a whole. I thought it was just a really fun insight to his life, his interests, and his path to the Celtics as the first two-way player ever, driving up to Milwaukee at the trade deadline. The year's coming to an end, so this week I'm trying to put some more inside stuff on the table. Life in the NBA, some of these players, some of the profiles that I've done this year, and get that out before the Celtics start their postseason run, in air quotes, to start next week. We talk about Jaylen Brown's injury today here on the podcast. At the end, I'm joined by Nate Sperlin. Call him Nate Dog. He was my sublet at Syracuse. And Nima Zavatsida, who went to Spain with me and covers the Rockets and is on his way to entering an analytics career in the NBA, headed to Columbia this year for a master's. Shout out to him. And we have our own group chat. We're always talking about the NBA. I'm always tossing out new MVP candidates. Just trying to still see if a case can be made for anyone else, with Nikola Jokic all but running away with the award at this point in the eyes of the voters. Does a guy like Russell Westbrook get an extra look after breaking the triple-double record, leading the Wizards to 15-20 to close the season, to come from the NBA's basement all the way to the NBA playoffs, where they might be able to make some noise in the play-in tournament as well as the first round of this postseason? And it's been on his playmaking, it's been on his incredible rebounding, as well as his resurgent scoring. Nate, who joins us here, has always been his biggest defender, has always loved him, has always been one of the people that said he's one of the most impactful NBA players out there, period. So we'll talk to Nima about his Rockets days, what went wrong there, what's going right with the Wizards now, and then we'll get into that Brown injury, the MVP race, as well as some odds for you here today. So power pack show, good friends here, good conversation. This is what I like to do sometimes here on Dome Theory when we're not doing our interview series. So we'll be back with that next week. We'll talk some music next week as well, I'm sure. And make sure you go subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, all those places. And join us the rest of this week into the weekend as we wrap the Celtics season. What's next? I'll have some news in the coming weeks on all that. If the Celtics season does come to an early end, as it looks like it's going to here. And then we will talk off-season and all that stuff into the off-season with the Garden Report there. But stay tuned here. We'll be doing great interviews every week. We're on CLNS Media, as well as my YouTube page, Bobby Manning. Not the pastor, but the second Bobby Manning that you'll find on YouTube. So here is Nima, Nate, and myself talking NBA. Dome Theory, number 50, since we changed the name. 50. And we got two ace of our group chat here. I think we're up to eight now in our NBA group chat. You've seen Nate Sperlin before. Nima, you got to sit up straight. They're only going to see a floating head.
What's up?
So if you're watching this on YouTube, you can obviously see our guy Nima in the middle at Finding Nima 23 and our guy Old Milk.
Old Milk.
I got it right. I call him Nate Dog. He's Nate Sperlin. You heard him on here before last January when we were talking about Kobe. Well, today we're talking about something much more positive. Russell Westbrook, it's time to give him his flowers. It's time to anoint him as the greatest triple-double player of all time. What that means, we'll see, but it's an incredible accomplishment. Now, I do have to show the clip of him getting the 10th rebound last night, because I think some people are going to laugh at it. if I'm throwing this up here, is Davis Bertans allowed to get this rebound? Here we go. That's the joke about this whole triple-double thing. Steven Adams getting out of the way, everybody clearing the lane for the rebounds. But, you know, I'm not going to diminish it because it's still incredible game in, game out to be able to do this at will as he's been doing for 3-4 years now.
Yeah. I will say that, like, the whole point of, like, the Steven Adams clearing it, like, clearing the, like, boxing out so something like Russ can go to get a rebound. There was actually tactic to that in OKC. Like, the whole reason was so Russ could run the fast break and it didn't have to go into Adams' hands and he had to find Russ and do all that. It's just Russ can go there, get the rebound himself because he's such a good rebounder. Like, I saw a clip or a picture earlier. It was a few days ago, and it was, like, three Pacers players literally on top of Russ, and it was like, Russ got this rebound. And, like, he's such a good rebounder for his size. It's ridiculous. And so, like, you utilize that and you utilize his speed as well. I mean, right when he gets that rebound, you can go run and transition. If Steven Adams or Bertans are doing that, you're wasting a little bit of time getting the ball to him. So, like, I guess for the stat padding, it's cheap, but there's a reason for it. Like, if you're using it right, if it's not just doing it to stat pad, then I'm perfectly fine with it.
So, our guy, Nate, there's no Russ slander allowed whatsoever with this guy. This is his favorite player. This is who he embodies as a basketball player. I used to play with Nate. He plays like Westbrook. And so this
for good
is your
or for bad.
For both. You know, that's what it is.
For
with
both.
Us.
Oh no. I put the team on my back many times. Oh my God.
Oh hey, boy. Everybody's got their good and their bad out there. Who am I at this point? I say I'm a million different players, but my guy was always Brandon Bass. I say I play like Brandon Bass.
Oh, do the younger viewers even know who that is?
No, unfortunately. But this is your week, Nate. This is the week everybody finally comes around, sees what you've been seeing, gives him his flowers, which I think he needs because, as you know, everybody was so down on him for 2 years thinking that.
People still are.
Yeah, people.
You don't think it's become a consensus this year that he's an impactful player?
No, I think this is the one time because he's done the impossible, what's been deemed as the impossible for many, many years, that people are going to start acknowledging him for being one of the best players of our generation, one of the best point guards we've ever seen to play basketball. But I think next year, if he's on the Wizards again and they have the same roster and then Bradley Beal goes down and they're like 5 games under .500 because Russ can't put the team on his back, or Russ is trying to put the team on his back, but there's nothing to put on his back, the slander will come back and they'll start saying that it's all Russ's fault. When in reality, Russ is one of the most talented players we've ever seen. And really, the one downside to his career has been his situations that he's been in, not really him or his play, but we're casual. So we just look at the results and we don't think about why they happen.
Well, the injury thing was real, obviously, in Houston. And this is great too. Nima covers the Rockets on his, what's the podcast called now?
Gen Z Rockets now. It's part of a network, so it's a growing network. We got like three different teams now, but so Gen Z Rockets, you can find it's on both Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and then on Twitter, same tag. So
when the Rockets traded for him, it looked like a pretty good move because they were able to get off Paul. They had to give up some picks there, but they were getting a guy who would just average a triple double, you know, 3 years running in Westbrook, who can set Harden up and mesh there. The shooting was obviously a concern, but I don't think anyone expected it to go as poorly as it did. And that was probably the worst season of his career there in Houston, and it just collapsed in a horrible way in the playoffs there. And then
I don't know about all that. I think that he got injured. He obviously got COVID and he got injured. I think that
the COVID thing was real. Yeah,
like I think that this is a very the Houston Rockets, the small ball Houston Rockets with PJ Tucker or Robert Covington at center is probably one of the most interesting teams of this decade. And I mean, we just started it, but still one of the most interesting teams of the decade. I think that they could have pushed the Lakers to probably 7 if Westbrook was healthy.
Well, he was awesome in game one. And
he was. Also, it helps if Eric Gordon doesn't take all the dumb shots that he did. So, like, there's a lot of things working there. But I think that at the end of the day, it was still a very good season for him. If anything, it showed that the whole thing about, Russ can't play with another superstar was just totally bogus.
Yeah, and just to kind of add on to that and give you guys a little bit of, like, perspective on how that season really went in Houston.
From a guy who saw it and had his heart broken firsthand.
Yeah, heartbroken. Heartbroken's one way to put it, man.
What do you got?
So the first 25-ish games of the season, like, there's obviously some trouble there. Russ plays a much different style than Chris Paul. Harden wasn't used to that. And then also Russ hadn't been playing yet with, like, a ball dominant guard ever really in his career. I mean, he played with KD, who was pretty good at playing off of him. And then Paul George, who, in my opinion, Russ turned Paul George into a whole other player.
Made him look like a top three player.
Made him look like an MVP candidate, or in Paul George's own words, his MVP season. But
no, I agree with that. But
I mean, it's his MVP season, sure.
Yes.
But, like, if you look between, I believe it's like December 16th. It's Houston versus San Antonio. And Russ scored like 31 points that game. And then he scored 40 the game after that. And then just there until basically when Rudy Gobert decided to start touching everything. between those 2 points, Russ averaged 31 points per game, 8 rebounds a game, 7 assists a game, 2 steals on 50% from the field, 28% from 3, but only 2.5 attempts a game, and 79% from the free throw line.
That
he
sounds
was having
like
his most efficient season by far. By far. And so everybody that was saying, like, oh, Russ was inefficient. Russ is super, so inefficient. I got into an argument earlier this year that Russ isn't a top point guard because of how inefficient he is. And I'm like, sure, he's inefficient. Yeah, he's not the greatest at hitting shots in the NBA. But you know what he is one of the best at? He's one of the best passers in the league. He's one of the best playmakers in the league. He's one of the best energy guys in the league. He's one of the best rebounders in the league. Like, this dude is really good at a bunch of things, but we're going to call him overrated and a horrible basketball player because he can't hit three-pointers very well. Like, I think it's stupid.
Nima, do me a favor and read those stats again one more time.
Yeah, and so between game, it was his 24th and his 53rd game of the season. 31.3 points per game, 8.1 rebounds per game, 6.7 assists, 1.7 steals on 50, 28, 79.
Yeah, that sounds like borderline the best big man in the league.
Yeah,
the rebounding is absurd.
That's this type of numbers that Jokic is putting up this year, and he's an MVP candidate.
Yeah,
MVP.
No, he is MVP.
Almost unanimous MVP. So it's like,
right, Bobby?
It's,
we'll get to it.
but then also going on Russ this year, like, people knocked him a lot earlier this year because of that injury that was, like, very clearly, like, he said it himself, it was a torn.
No, when I saw him in Boston at the end of February, it was like he wasn't even out there. Like, he was just so out of the game. It was crazy. And you never see that from him. Like, his usage is always through the roof and he's always trying to do stuff. But back then, he was just letting Beal roll.
And so we kind of talked about it before we started this about how, like, the All-Star game, like, was kind of trash. But, like, what it did provide was, like, 6 days of rest for a lot of guys, which was much needed this year. Russ on the season is 22-12-12, right? Before the All-Star break, 20.3 points per game, 9.7 rebounds, 9.8 assists on 42.8%, 29.4% from three, and 58.3% from the field. After the All-Star break, 23.4, 13, and 13. That's insane. That's insane. And then the shooting numbers all go up by about 3%, 45, 33, and then from the free throw line, he's shooting 70% compared to 58. He's having such a better second half of the season. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, he had 26 assists last week, right? 21 in the record-setting game yesterday. That's what impresses me most. I mean, this guy's got to be.
It was 24 assists, but yeah.
24. So this guy's got to be one of the best passers in the game, period. Especially when you consider what he's playing with here. You know, he's got Beal, but he's got Davis Bertans, who has not had the best year. He's playing with Robin Lopez at center, who's more of a defender than offense.
Robin Lopez's post hook. Like, I've watched a lot of Wizards games. I will
it's
say
scary.
It's very, very good. Like, he does the little thing.
It's
where he's
scary,
like,
but it's good.
He goes up. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay. Maybe Russ isn't playing with a JV team.
Then you got Ruiz. He's built up Ruiz. So I seriously think he's a guy. My two things about him is that he's a guy who can build teammates up, and he's a guy that just goes out there with such an energy, such a determination to the point where they were one of the worst teams in the league to start this year. The fact that they're going to the playoffs is amazing, and it's largely been because of his will to get it done. And that's why I'm looking at my
MVP. And they locked in the play-in spot, right? Like they're locked.
Yes, Toronto's eliminated. I think Chicago.
It's only Chicago that's still lingering, but I don't done. Really. Yeah, I don't really care about Chicago.
That's Nate. Russell Westbrook
has done more for my happiness in the past 5 years than the Chicago Bulls, and I'm a Bulls fan. So,
Nate's our resident Bulls fan. Nima's our Rockets guy. My MVP matrix here, which I point to a lot in our group chat, is showing me that Westbrook's not even on the board here, right? We got Jokic, we got Embiid, we got Giannis, Luka, Lillard, Rudy, and Curry at the bottom end. So I don't know, like maybe Westbrook has like a 0.5 chance that's not on here, but again, I'd give him MVP over Doncic.
I mean, is this purely statistical?
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing with MVP for me, and I think that this is just a whole thing that like us as like basketball people need to have a conversation about, is what does that mean? So like for me, I'm thinking MVP is if you take a player off the team, what happens to the team? And based off of that, like that's who the MVP is. So yeah, you could put Giannis there, you could put Kawhi there, but if you take both of them off the team, they're still pretty good teams.
The Bucks would be done without Giannis. Come on.
No, they wouldn't. They have Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and
Brook Lopez. Would not be a playoff team. Like,
yes, they would.
Nima?
Yes, they would.
They wouldn't be a top three seed like they are. I think they'd be probably in the play-in.
They'd be playoffs.
I mean, we're not going to do the Giannis.
The way that Mike Budenholzer allowed four players on the Atlanta Hawks, who are probably almost out the league right now, to get All Star nominations, they would have been top five.
That team is just very.
He's a great regular season coach.
That team is just very interesting. I mean, they got the only two white guys in the league that don't know how to shoot.
Ooh, Milwaukee?
Yeah.
They can shoot. Come on.
Compared to the other white guys in the league, not very well.
No, well, yeah, Joe Harris and Herders and, you know.
Duncan Robinson. Yeah.
We called Joe Harris the peak white guy of the NBA. I think we might actually have to give that to Duncan Robinson, the way he's shooting through 2 years.
We call him Spot Up Joe in Brooklyn.
He's awesome. Yeah. I mean, is he still 50% from three this year, pretty much?
I'm not completely sure. All I know is that when he dribbles, I don't mind it.
He is 48% from three, 51% from the field.
He is the most underrated player in the NBA. And you know what? The Cavs had him, and they lost him. That's a tough one for them.
It's insane being able to hit 50% from three, no matter who you are.
Shooting a ton of them, playing every day, I think that's a huge accomplishment. He's been one of the most underrated guys in this basketball league this year. But back to my original point, I'd give Russ the MVP over Butler, Kawhi, Luka, Lillard, Rudy, Kyrie, certainly, Steph at this point. So, like, if we're voting today, I'm going to put him fourth. The kind of impact that he's had.
So who will be in front of
us?
Yes. So it would just be Giannis, Embiid, and Jokic in front of him.
Giannis isn't there.
I think he is. My thing with Russ, and it's my same thing with Curry, I can't give you MVP if your team isn't like a top 4 or 5 team in your conference. Like, unless you do something
On, Nima. They were in last place.
They were in last place. And like that's what's been insane. But it's also the like work up. If you look, like, it's God, yeah, like that's the thing. Like it's what Russ did this year is like unprecedented. But I still don't think it's good enough to give you MVP, like, or get you in like a lot of votes. Like I just don't.
So what's your order? Who are you voting?
I have Jokic one. probably Embiid, then Giannis.
Yeah. Overruled, Nate.
Sorry about that, right, Nate. No.
And who you like got four? So who's over Russ at four?
Man, let me look at your bring back up your thing. Let me
our leaderboard. I don't think it's Kawhi.
I don't think it's Kawhi.
Honestly, I don't think it's Butler. Though Butler made a strong late case.
I think Luka has a really good case to be
really
up there. Like,
yeah, they're 40 and 28. That's pretty good.
The Mavs are like in that 4-5 slot. He's putting up good numbers, 28, 8, and 9.
I can't believe they're better than the Lakers.
Kristaps Porzingis sucks. Like, he does. Like, that dude does, like, is just.
He doesn't suck. He's just brutal.
He's a glass cannon. He's a glass cannon. The rest of that team is just, like, a bunch of C-level players and Jalen Brunson, who Mavs fans think is the second coming of God knows what. But like I've heard it multiple times, people say Jalen Brunson's the second best player on the Mavs, which I think is very funny because that also just attributes to my Kristaps Porzingis sucks narrative. But I think Luka should be up there, maybe not number four, but definitely up there. Rudy Gobert, I like that. I like him being up there. People hate
Rudy.
They literally just lost to the Warriors last night.
I can't believe he only had 10 points.
And he only had 10 points. He doesn't contribute to winning in the same way that all these other guys on this top 10.
Yeah, that's true. And then also there's...
I would have called them a lock that they would have won that game too.
With what?
There's that Chris Paul push that's happening right now too, which is interesting.
Yeah, no.
No, but if you're looking... So if we keep talking about what MVP is, contributing most to winning, and you know, with all this win share stuff, which isn't my favorite stat, but that's always going to be driven by how much your team's winning. And when it comes to defensive win shares, nobody does it like Rudy Gobert.
What does that even mean? Like, what is a defensive win share?
Nima, you got me on that?
Yeah, I don't really care for the formulas of win shares. I've gotten into a lot of, like, the formulas of stats lately and realized that a lot of, like, advanced stats they're stupid. I'll get onto my Ben Taylor rant later. I love Ben Taylor and I think he's a great basketball mind, but Jesus Christ, man. All your stats are going to be based off of one damn statistic. Make sure that stat is actually a good stat. That's my only point. But with win shares, basically what it boils down to is how much does your defense affect winning? How they calculate it, I can bring that up right now. Hold on.
I just have one rule to tell you, listening audience. I don't know what you call your fan base. I was about to dome theorist.
Dome theory, yeah.
theorists, I'm going to tell you straight up, right? If you need advanced statistics to tell me why someone is good, they're not good. Sorry.
All right, so I'll do it without the numbers, and we can put Nima's formula away. When you watched last night, no one goes to the paint against Gobert. When they get there, they're backing out. They're going the other way. He's driving them away with blocks. This guy's defense is incredible. And you can say whatever you want about what's happened to him in the playoffs, but that has nothing to do with these awards. That has nothing to do with how he carries these teams in the regular season. And when we're talking about 50 and 19, I know you got Mitchell in there, but he got hurt in the end. Rudy's been there all year, anchoring one of the best defenses in the NBA. And that's really been what's driven their winning is their defense and his constant presence inside. So he's my number five.
I mean, I think it's also the fact that they know how to move the ball on the perimeter and they're probably the best shooting team, maybe aside from the Clippers.
He gives them 14 to 16 points on the roll. You know, he gets involved offensively too.
But it's purely dependent on other players. That doesn't mean, like, you getting me 14 because people know how to throw a lob to you doesn't mean anything to me. Like, anyone can do that. Like, Clint Capella does it. Bam Adebayo can make his own shot, obviously. Andre Drummond could do it if he's paired with – once LeBron comes back, he'll probably get you 20 points off of lobs and stuff like that. JaVale McGee could do it. Dwight Howard could do it. Like, there's so many players who could do that. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he's MVP because of his offense, but he's not a zero on offense along with his probably defensive player of the year caliber defense. It's him or Simmons. So – I think if you're going to weigh offense and defense equally when it comes to value for players, you know, defense gets Embiid up there. Defense gets Giannis up there. It's why I don't love Jokic as MVP, but I've seen guys make arguments the last week or so of why he's at least a stable defender, so I'll give it to him. But Rudy, if he's the best defender in the NBA, he's got to be one of the most valuable players in the NBA.
He's not, though.
How? He's
genuinely not the best defender in the NBA. He can't guard the perimeter. You can't be the best defender in the NBA when there's actually bigs out here like Bam Adebayo and Ben Simmons is 6'10". I'm gonna call him a big too, just for the purpose of this debate, who can guard the perimeter and actually lock up when they need to.
What do you got, Nima?
All right, so my thing with, okay, first of all, just to go back to the defensive win shares, looked up the formula.
Nima's like the mediator between me and Nate.
Yeah, not even worth looking at that damn formula. Second of all, it's like marginal points over marginal something, and then the marginal whatevers have their own formulas. It's stupid. And so the thing with Rudy is, I will say this, and maybe you guys can agree with me or not. Whenever it comes to a defensive scheme, a rim protector is more important than a wing defender, right? Whenever you're building defense, I would much rather have a rim protector than a great help defender or a great on-ball defender.
Yeah, because there's a lot of centers. There's a lot of great defensive centers I'd rather have over Marcus Smart. Bless Smart.
I mean, I think that might be fair, but at the same time, I think that that's also just because like the whole idea of individual defense, aside from a few players, is just lost in today's NBA.
That's fair. Yeah, I agree with that. But like, you also just you gotta look at like impact defensively, and like, does Rudy Gobert also just kind of benefit from the fact that he's 7'2" with a 8-foot wingspan, or what is 7-foot with like a 7'9" wingspan or something like that? Like, yes, 100%. He would not be in the league if he was like 3 inches shorter. Right. But like, the thing with the Jazz is like, he's anchoring in number 3 defense, and it's not, yes, they have great, like, they're number 1 in guarding spot ups, they're number 3 in guarding isolation, they're number 3 in guarding the roll man. But like, who
is, no one can get to the rim.
Who's doing this stuff? Who is the guy guarding all of these?
Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell.
Rudy Gobert has guarded 15% of the Jazz's spot up possessions more than any other player, holding them to 0.85 points per possession, 87% out of all players in the league. With the role man, he's guarding them a lot as well. He's actually doing pretty bad compared to other guys when guarding the role man, which I think.
No, I was watching the game last night. I know the Jazz lost, but when guys were going inside and seeing him, they were running right back out. They weren't even trying to put the ball up.
You get scared if Rudy Gobert's down there. Like, that's the thing. And then whenever guarding like isolation, people say like, oh, Rudy Gobert doesn't know how to, you know, guard guys one-on-one and stuff like that. He's holding them to 0.675 points per possession. He's holding them to 30% from the field.
Nate, I think you're going to be...
He's guarding isolation guys more than anybody else on the team. Like, he's not a bad defender. He just gets crossed up by...
He's not a bad defender, but he's not ideal on the perimeter.
Yeah, neither is any... Like, give me 5 bigs in the
league. You don't want Embiid on the perimeter. Yeah.
It's like Bam Adebayo, and that's it. That's,
I mean, like, Aaron Gordon's eye on the perimeter.
Aaron Gordon's like 6'6". He's not
still
a bit.
He plays power forward.
He's big body. Counts. He's not big.
Still a big though. Like, if you play power forward at center, I consider you a big. Like,
I'd rather have a Rudy at center still though, even in today's game, than a Gordon. Like, I don't want to go that small. I still want some size inside.
Yeah, but, you want size.
Nate, I think you're gonna be small. I think you're going to be surprised by how far the Jazz end up going in this postseason, especially because of their path.
Second round exit loading. If they meet the Nuggets, I mean, also it depends on how healthy Donovan Mitchell is, because I don't even know when he's supposed to come back.
That's true.
Or
hey, they're going to meet the Lakers.
Supposed to come back.
They're going to meet the Lakers at round one.
if LeBron and AD is healthy, taking LeBron and AD.
I'd be worried if I'm the Lakers going against them.
Rudy Gobert is not going to know what to do with Anthony Davis, especially if Anthony Davis plays the way that he did the last two games. Then he just dropped like 42 or something. Like,
no, but Rudy's
gonna be, is not going to know what to do with that at all.
Rudy's going to be thrilled to see Andre Drummond on the other side, though. I do want to check in. We have sponsor obligations here, so we're going to check in on betonline.ag. And what I love about betonline.ag is all the stuff we can talk about here. They got our awards odds, and there's still a few here on betonline.ag that you can look at and see. Futures for awards in the NBA. So let's pull these up here and see if some of these races are done. Jokic, obviously, all but done for MVP, even though I think some other guys should be getting some at least consideration there. Should Jokic be unanimous is what the latest question I'm hearing.
Nobody should be unanimous.
No, I think Embiid should probably get a few votes.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, should he be unanimous? Probably not, right? Like, there's a bunch of people in the league did some crazy things, but like, if he's unanimous, I would not be surprised whatsoever. And also, I think that there's going to be a lot of people just voting for random dudes to justify against voting for Jokic, because I feel like just the way the media perception of this year has been, people don't really want to vote for Jokic this year.
Nick Wright.
Yeah, like, I don't. People just want to find justification for why they can throw some other guy in there. Like,
yeah, no. No,
the frustrating thing is that Embiid was the MVP, and he got still injured. Get him at 850, and then he got hurt. So yeah, there was no way Jokic was passing him just because of what Embiid was doing game in and game out. And then he came back and kept doing those things. So that's what got frustrating, because it's like, all right, is this the games played award this year? Like, Jokic played the most games in the year where everyone's out. So that just gives it to him by default. I get it. He's been the best player in the league this year. But still, when I look at most valuable, Curry, if you took him off the Warriors, they would be dead. They'd be the worst team in the league. If you took Giannis off the Bucks, they'd be in a really bad spot. Maybe playoffs, but who knows?
They won some good. They win some big games without Giannis, though. Like, they won some games without him.
The Mavs would be dead without Luka. If you took Jokic off the Nuggets, they'd be in a bad spot. But Murray would still get them somewhere.
I think what's funny is there's an award that Jokic should be winning as well, and he's not in the conversation for, and it's Most Improved Player.
What do we got for most improved here on betonline.ag? Randall, like, he's minus 10,000.
He's not even top three, but if you look at what he's done this year compared to last year, his points per game are almost up by 7. His rebounds are up by 1. His assists are up by like 2. He's shooting 5% better from the free throw line, 9% better from the three-point line, and almost 4% better from the field. Like, he stepped up insanely this year, and his defense is much, much, much improved than last year.
I was surprised by how good he's defending. Yeah,
I mean, he's not a bad defender anymore. Like, he's not like a lot, and he lost a lot of weight. Like, I think he has a case for most improved, like, over
Randall,
like Michael Porter. But over Grant and Michael Porter Jr., like, I think Jokic should be up there for most improved player. There's no reason why he shouldn't.
I mean, I think I'd also put Christian Wood in there too.
He got hurt too much.
He did get hurt, but I do think that most improved is reserved for players that we don't really expect things out of, or expect them to play as well as they do in the coming year. Like Jeremy Grant coming out of nowhere, I did not expect that. Christian Wood, I didn't expect that. Julius Randle, who should probably be a top five MVP candidate this year,
he would be sixth.
I did not expect that. Like, if anyone told me that Julius Randle would be contending for MVP in any sense last year, I'd laugh in their face, and it's true. I think Julius Randle has it.
I would consider giving Randle an MVP vote. He's done everything for New York. He's done everything.
I'd slide him into five, maybe, like, depending on if, like, I think if they lock in that four seed and depending on where some other teams fall, I would probably lock him in at five.
Who's more valuable to their team? Jokic to Denver or Randle to New York? Like, who's more critical? Who's more critical to that team's success?
Right now, Jokic.
Bobby, what are we doing here?
I'm just saying, like,
it's Jokic. It's not a con. Especially since everyone thought that since Jamal Murray got injured, they were going to fall off a cliff, and they didn't. it's
Jokic. I thought they were gonna fall off a cliff.
Yeah,
my,
me too.
My whole thing was like, I told you, I was like, Jokic probably won't be my MVP anymore because I think they're gonna start losing games, and they stayed right at the 4 seed. They're actually one game behind the 3 seed in the loss column. So like,
yeah, Jokic has done the thing, man. He's Jokic, MVP. Bobby, you need to just come to grips with that and just internalize it and accept it as reality, because that's what's gonna happen.
Not to mention that on top of that, Aaron Gordon has like sucked since Jamal Murray went down, because now he's getting back into that like second, third option role, where with Jamal Murray he was playing like a third or fourth option, which he's a lot more comfortable with. And now that he's playing like a second option again or a third option again, like it's not him. Like it's just not him. I think whenever you had Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray kind of being getting the ball more than Aaron Gordon and letting Aaron Gordon just kind of work around them, That's when he was at his most effective. And then Jamal Murray went down, and so like I can't even give credit to like the Aaron Gordon trade for how they're doing. Like it's Jokic and then Michael Porter Jr. learning to like not be an idiot, and he's still trying to work that out. So
Rudy Gobert, heavy favorite for Defensive Player of the Year on Bet Online. Rookie of the Year is going to be interesting. I can pull it up.
If it's not Jay Sean Tate, I got a problem.
Underrated. We can make an underrated rookie of the year. It's going to be Ball.
Jay Sean Tate's fourth, in my opinion.
Is it Ball just because he came back, or is he going to win it anyway?
Yes.
I think it's because he came back. I think it's Edwards if he doesn't return.
I agree.
That's too bad, because Edwards really gave a good full year run at it, which credit to him. He came into this league and did his thing this year in a way I wasn't sure he was going to be able to.
Edwards might be a top 10 most entertaining player. Just like
you see him defending. Did you see him defending Cat against Butler too in the post game presser?
I didn't get a chance to see that, but I'm sure he said something that was very funny. Like him talking about how he's the best baseball player in the world and not knowing who Alex Rodriguez is.
My professor works for the Timberwolves, and one of the kids asked him, because it's like a sports science class, and we were just talking about like baseball. And so they asked, and they're like, can Edwards throw 100 mile per hour fastball like he says he can? And my professor was just like, God, no. No, like, there's no way.
BetOnline.ag. All that stuff's available. Games, anything you want over there. Futures, football's coming up. Baseball is out there day in and day out. Hockey playoffs, you can get all that. CLNS50 at betonline.ag. Let's wrap this up with where we started. Kent Bazemore, Bradley Beal. What did we call him yesterday, Nate? A title waiver.
Oh, I remember, wasn't it like 2K13 or something where they literally brought him in so that he can reenact some of his bench celebrations and so they can put it in the game? It's one of those 2Ks. If you look it up, I promise you it exists. I'm not lying at all, but that's his claim to fame.
So he's out here saying that Bradley Beal is pulling a hamstring trying to keep up with Steph Curry. And that sent Bradley Beal onto a Twitter tirade that we followed in real time last night in our chat.
That was fun to watch.
You don't know shit about me, brah. You don't know why I go out there and play it. And damn sure ain't for another man's approval. You are straight lame, but it don't surprise me coming from you. That's what your type do. Your type being towel waver. It's funny you say that because your man's admittedly checked my numbers before the game, but I'm chasing. Shut your ass up. Was that's Curry checking Beal's?
He said that.
He said that
Beal had 50, and then they asked him like, then did you think about the scoring championship? And then he was like, yeah, that was my second thought. Like Curry literally said that.
Yeah, he was saying like, oh yeah, for sure. Like the clown. Did you see what Bradley Beal's wife was saying?
She was extra spicy.
That was the funniest tweet. It was like, don't expect a response after a night of 8 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 6 turnovers, and 6 fouls. He's had a long night. That killed me. That was absolutely ridiculous.
I stay in my lane, focus on Brad. IDC about what another man doing in this league. I'm concerned about me and my guys over here. Keep that goofy shit over there. And it is goofy. That's exactly what it is.
It is.
That's all that really needed to be said. And then Bazemore, I guess you can't joke anymore. Whatever. I don't know, man. I feel I'm a pretty lighthearted guy. I stay in my own lane. I don't say things to ruffle feathers. Hey, man, if you want to know where my loyalty is, it's to Curry. Anybody out there chasing him, it's going to be tough. Whatever. It kind of got out of hand. I didn't check my phone all day, so it's kind of blowing up. I don't get involved with that crap. Going to go home. Love my wife.
Someone listens to Chance the Rapper.
Watch my Peaky Blinders and go to bed. I got work to do tomorrow, which is true. He is a central rotation player, the Warriors now, which is genuinely the Warriors.
I genuinely feel like he heard whispers that he wasn't going to come back, and then he decided to kick it into full gear on the teammate meter, and that's why he's doing all this.
Yeah, so he dipped his foot into the water trying to start something and then pulled it right out, as he did with Harden, as you said, Nima, a couple years ago.
That was so funny.
Padlock Bays.
It wasn't even that he, like, no, it just he got embarrassed on live television. Harden had him, like, walking around a merry-go-round, and, like, he had to go on the internet and apologize for it, apparently, and say, oh, my bad, guys, I shouldn't have spun in a circle. I spun in a circle on purpose because he normally does this. And man, like, shut up. Just admit the fact that you got crossed over and let it
happens to everyone. It literally happens to everyone. Like, you could have just let it go.
Imagine if Rudy Gobert went on Twitter after getting crossed up by Donovan, or not
and wrote a note.
And wrote was like, oh man, I thought he was gonna drive to the paint and he didn't. And so here's me apologizing.
Imagine, like, shut up. Imagine Wesley Johnson doing that after he got dropped.
Yeah, that would be
wild. And then stared at.
Ty Lue doing it after, like, Allen Iverson steps over him. Like, oh, I meant to get up, but I just kept laying there. And he stepped
lockdown,
over me, and I have to.
Lockdown Lue.
That's wild.
And then those. People still writing these, what is it, theses in the notes section. You could do a Twitter thread. You could do this on Google Docs, but people are still just typing away.
Or just don't do it.
Yeah, or just
don't. I think that's the best option. Yeah. Like,
Jaylen Brown down for the year. That's the last one here. I'll give you guys shots at it because we obviously recorded the Garden Report last night. I gave all my takeaways there if you want to go grab those. But I'm bummed because I thought he was the MVP of the Celtics this year. I thought his efficiency was through the roof. I thought he led them while Tatum was down with COVID. I thought he reached a new level as a ball handler and finally proved that he can be like a 1B for this team behind Tatum. He's not a number two. He's right there at the top with Tatum. And I hope that's the kind of dynamic that can be had going forward here in Boston. But he's going to miss all this offseason. He might miss a little bit of the beginning of next year now with this wrist injury, which is tough. And makes it even harder for the Celtics to try to bounce back from what has been a bad year. But is there any hope left for this group without him?
No.
I'll let you go for an A.
No, that's it.
I'll let you go.
Go ahead, Nima.
Yeah, this year, no, not at all. So on Locker Room, it's fun sitting in on the Celtics.
Yeah.
Because it's always a meltdown.
That's a sponsor.
Yeah, joinlockerroom.com. No, yeah, it's always a meltdown out there. I will say, Jaylen Brown started the season incredibly. He had he was arguably the best player in the league to start.
He led the league in scoring through like 8 to 10 games. Yeah,
yeah, he was one of the best players in the league. I remember whenever the Harden trade thing was happening, like it was a legitimate thing of like.
That's who Nima wanted. Nima wanted him bad.
Jaylen Brown was who I wanted. Jaylen Brown is still I still bring up to you, Bobby, every once in a while. You should have done that Harden trade, and I think it both teams would have benefited a lot if that trade had gone through. I think if you have Harden, Tatum, Kemba, that's like a not Walmart, maybe like a Target version of the Brooklyn Big Three, but like. I think with the Celtics this year, and when it was funny because whenever you were bringing up the Russ stuff, I wanted to say that the Rockets traded Russ for or Chris Paul for Russ to get off the Chris Paul deal, and then Russ for John Wall to get off the Russ deal, and maybe we'll trade John Wall to the Celtics trade for Kemba. Houston, man. Maybe the next bad contract that we'll take is Kemba Walker. Hopefully we get around to that, but no.
I mean, I think
Kemba's been better.
Yeah, I think Kemba's been better. I think the Boston Celtics have a problem with trying to make players what they're not. Like, they're doing it with Jason Tatum in terms of trying to make him into a playmaker. They've done that with Kemba. Kemba's a good playmaker. He's a fine playmaker, but he's not in the same way.
That's a problem. They don't have a playmaker.
Yeah, it's not in the same way that you get like a Rondo or a CP3 or a Westbrook or a James Harden or LeBron or whoever. Like, it's not the same. Draymond is not at the same level. So it's like, go ahead.
Oh, no, y'all should have used that TPE on Rubio. I think that would have been
Rubio.
That's somebody you guys definitely needed. Fournier was nice. I told you whenever you guys got Fournier, like, I liked the deal. But like, the one thing I don't like about the deal is that's what you used your TPE on. Like, I think that was like, you could have had Miles Turner. That's the biggest fire Danny Ainge to any Celtics fan. You want to know my stance on the Celtics? You want to be a good team? If you think your team wants some future, fire Danny Ainge. That's my
stance. It's tough. It's tough because you want the best five players on the floor. So you want those guys to figure it out as playmakers. You don't want to just put a Rubio out there because no one else can pass.
I mean, but that's the same thing that happened. And that's part of the reason why the Clippers didn't win a ring last year.
You're right.
They didn't have a playmaker.
No, and now they're looking good. Players.
Yeah, and now they have Rondo, and they're probably – I'm this close to considering them as contenders, like taking them seriously.
Ooh,
I'm very close.
The Clippers are a serious team to me.
I have to see PG in a series first. Three straight years he ain't show up. Three straight years.
The favorite to win it all is the Nets. The second is still the Lakers. Who's betting that? Not me. Clippers are third. Jazz are fourth. Sixers are fifth.
I'm telling you, it's the perfect situation for LeBron to market Space Jam, like, very, very well. You play the 8 seed in the first round, then you play the MVP and Jokic probably in the second round, then you play the Clippers at the very end of it probably, and then you play the Nets, and then after that you release Space Jam. But then if you lose in like the first round, and then you release Space Jam, no one's watching that shit in theaters. Are you kidding me? You lost in the first round. You expect me you can beat a bunch of monsters? Come on now.
Oh, yeah, I'm watching that. I'm still watching that. I'm excited. What? I'm excited.
He's going to get out there to promote early. I mean, they're not going to the finals. I guess we can.
I'm excited.
That
I just think that the marketing.
I still think they have a chance.
The movie will be goofy as hell. Like, if the Lakers get bounced in the first round, like, I think it'll just be really funny. They'll be like, Lakers are out in the finals, whenever, like, there's no LeBron, they're going to be marketing.
It would be
this summer. Like,
it'd be the lowest seed to ever make the finals.
I don't think it will be that bad, because I think that LeBron is still the best player that we've ever seen.
Yeah,
like, in our lifetimes, he's still the best player we've ever seen. So, like, I think that certain things, when you're that great, get swept under the rug, and I think this will be one of them, especially if his ankle's not 100%. Like, it's just like, oh, well, he's hurt. Like, okay,
I understand.
Bobby, where are you on the fire Danny Ainge train? I need to know. Are you there with me? Are you watching the train go by or what?
Let's see how this offseason goes. I think he did some good things this year.
I don't
year.
Think like, you give him another offseason. Don't let him ruin your team for another year, Bobby. You get those reins and you take them out of his hands and Austin's hands.
At the end of the day, he picked Tatum. He picked Brown. Those weren't obvious choices. He made the Kyrie deal, which was a great deal, even though it didn't work out. He got Hayward here. He got Horford here. He did a lot of good things. So he's never getting fired. But
I think Brad needs to go.
I can't stand what he's done since 2019. And extending Brad 6 years. Just ridiculous.
When did that happen?
Over the summer.
Are you serious?
Yes. So Brad's on a 6-year deal, so he's not going anywhere.
So even if he deserves it, he's probably not going to get fired.
No.
Wow.
And he signed for 6 years.
That's too much money on the table. That's crazy.
You Bobby, find a new team.
Because there was a lot of teams out there that wanted him, it seems like. You know, Indiana was offering him $70
million. Yeah.
Who knows what other teams were. So ultimately, at this point, maybe end up looking at, if it doesn't work out, a trade. If Indiana doesn't yeah, stick with their coach there.
Doc Rivers thing.
That might end up being what happens, because again, other teams would want him, and if he's not the fit here, again though, who's going to replace him? Do you guys have ideas?
Not right now. The market's too short up at the moment. We're digging deep in the bag with the Nate Bjorgrens in the
oh god. World.
No, I think he can do much worse than Brad. Brad has not had a great year. Unfortunately, he didn't have a good 2019 either. So that's two of the last 3 years. So the heat's on him for next year. I'd be bringing in a good assistant. I'd be carefully eyeing how the team responds to him over the offseason and in the next year. But the team was banged up this year. You guys know that their starters played together only 200 minutes this year. They never had the full roster healthy for a single game. COVID hit a bunch of guys. It was just a weird year. But
I get it.
There were deeper issues.
But at the same time, like, that's not an excuse for whoever's on the court to not try. Like, fight there and they're not, like, if they're not winning and there's fight every single game, then I'm like, okay, Brad can stay. But there just wasn't a urgency of, hey guys, we're the Celtics, and when Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown come back, we're going to be a number 3 seed in the East. It just wasn't that. It was just like, we're a seed, this is who we are, and this is fine. That's how it felt.
Why don't they run? That's my biggest question with them this year. They never run the fast break. They're the best team per possession on the break, and they never do it.
Absolutely no idea. I have absolutely no idea. And that's the thing with Brad Stevens. He's a great coach, but my issue.
I mean, I see him on the sideline. He's going, "Let's go, let's go," and they're not doing it.
I think he's too nice guy, man. That's why, like I said in our group chat the other day, and I don't want to offend. I think Brad Stevens is one of the smartest guys in the league. I think he'd be the best assistant coach ever. He'd be the highest paid assistant coach in the league. He'd be like, if you have him as your assistant coach, your team is already like way ahead of any other team. But you have him as the head coach. Like, if Brad Stevens was yelling at me at any point in my life, I would start laughing. I couldn't take him seriously, and I have no ego like that.
We saw how that
dealing with like young players with big egos, like, and you start trying to get into their heads and get them to like get amped up or like really yell at them and like get mad. Like, they're not gonna take you seriously. I think.
Yeah.
Like, He's too Mr. Nice Guy. And if you want the Mr. Nice Guy coach, you can't have team like the Celtics have without like a fiery – who's the fieriest guy on the Celtics? It's Marcus Smart.
For sure.
Like, that's not a Draymond Green. That's not a LeBron James. Yeah. That's not a Chris Paul. That's not a Russell Westbrook. That's not one of those guys who – or P.J. Tucker even. If you guys would have had a P.J.
Tucker.
Like, the Celptics, you want Brad Stevens as your head coach?
P.J. Tucker.
Meanwhile, they brought in Tristan Thompson.
You need a guy
Thompson.
Who's like an on-court coach.
I mean,
Tristan Thompson's an idiot.
I think that whole situation is starting to become like the Bulls with Fred Hoiberg when, like, I don't know if you guys remember that, but when Fred Hoiberg was trying to tell Jimmy Butler to call a timeout and it, like, it's recorded of Jimmy Butler saying, "What? No." Like, I think it's starting to get there.
I think there's different definitions of losing the team. I don't think these guys have tuned Brad out completely to the point of no return, but there's nights where they do. You see it. He's putting game plans out there, he's emphasizing certain things that they just don't follow. And I think on certain nights where they've been destroyed, specifically on the defensive end, they've tuned out a lot of the stuff that he wants them to do. So if that's the point that they're at, I think you kind of have to start looking elsewhere, because what are you going to do?
You fire Ainge before you fire Stevens. You fire Ainge before you fire Stevens.
Wow, well, it's just not going to happen, because Ainge is Mr. Celtic and all that stuff.
You're living off of 2008, which was just
13 years ago.
The only reason why that happened was because it was Paul Pierce, and you lose Paul Pierce and your job, or you go all in and maybe lose your job a year later. And so he went all in and lost it and didn't lose his job. It actually worked out. Like, I think what needs to happen, you need a similar thing. You need Jason Tatum to say, "Hey, get some dudes around me or get me the hell out of Boston." And then maybe Danny Ainge really, really feels the pressure and starts going all in. Let me ask you this real quick, Bobby. Real quick. Do you think Matisse Thybulle and Desmond Bane would be really, really helping this team right now?
No, those draft picks were killers. Grant Williams. And again, I saw an SB Nation article from 2019 that said the Celtics had the steals of the draft class. Grant Williams, Romeo Langford, Tremont Waters, and Carson Edwards. That was just a devastating four picks. Plus, they had three picks the next year. They could have packaged all of those and moved up. They could have packaged all those.
They drafted Tybo and traded him.
Yeah, like, to save some money. You know, they had a sign, and they've done some weird stuff to save money too. They traded Thibault to get Grant instead and save some money to get Kemba. They traded Baines for nothing. In fact, I think they might have traded a pick with Baines to get rid of him. They traded a pick with Vincent Poirier to get rid of him. They traded a pick with Cantor to get rid of him when he was actually pretty good for them. And then they traded a pick to get rid of they didn't trade a pick. They just got rid of Daniel Theis, who they actually need now that Rob's hurt. So weird stuff to move money. The Kemba signing, we'll see how that goes. That might not have been the smartest one in the world.
I wonder if Morey took a page out of Ainge's book, or if Ainge took a page out of Morey's book with those transactions, because all of those sound just like the type of stuff Morey did in Houston, like dumping players with picks. I was yelling the other day about how annoyed I am with the fact that the Rockets traded D'Anthony Melton to cut salary, but they traded D'Anthony Melton and Ryan Anderson for Brandon Knight, who they ended up needing to trade with a first rounder to unload his salary too. So just the Celtics and the Rockets,
talk about the Celtics when their offseason comes soon. It'll be sooner rather than later. He's Nate Sperling, Old Milk. Check out the Old Milk podcast.
When is this coming out?
This will be.
Oh, all right. Well, then at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, EST, the Cap podcast, episode 209.
Cap?
Yeah. Talk about T Grizzly. J. Cole. Grizzly.
J. Cole's out Friday.
Cole, I'm excited. Oh, boy.
He's going to play for Rwanda.
Honestly,
I'm excited for that, man.
Did any follow her interlude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did y'all watch a documentary?
I didn't get a chance.
It's like 14 minutes. It's on YouTube. Definitely go watch it. It's very, like, motivational.
I love J. Cole. I don't know if I love the music anymore. We'll see.
He has an album of the year contender. That's coming
off
out
those 2
Friday.
Minutes. Off those yes. 2 minutes.
that you have to understand that interlude is probably better than 80% of the songs that came out this year.
Yeah, this song.
And
this
that's an interlude. Yeah, and that's an interlude.
I like Vic Mensa's project this year. I like.
Now we fuck with Vic Mensa like that no more.
Hey, he's back. He's back.
Nah. You think that with,
what,
like,
after
with
what he did. No.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Nah, we ain't doing that.
All right.
I think that with COVID.
Go ahead.
We get like better quality music lately, but it just hasn't been happening.
They can't perform.
The rollouts are so important.
Most of their money that they get is from performances and stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
They can't perform. So there's no reason.
What is my favorite album this year? It's a good question. We'll talk about
To Kill a Sunrise. Code of the Front and Static Selecta.
The new MF Doom album was really good.
Conway the Machine's album was really
good. That was good too. I like the Rod Waves. I don't know if you guys are into that type of hip hop, but Rod Waves, I believe it's called Soulfly. Really good too.
A lot of good singles this year. But yeah, not a ton in the way of albums.
It's
Leave the Door Open. We're waiting on that. Yeah, so we'll talk more music as more stuff comes out this year with Nate Dogg and some others here on Dome Theory. Nima, check out his Rockets podcast. What is it called again?
Gen Z Rockets.
Yeah.
Yeah, and y'all can find me also on Locker Room almost any night.
He's doing those verses.
Doing verses. I guess if it's out tonight, I think it's 11 o'clock Eastern. We're doing a Drake versus Kanye versus. I'm Drake, and I'm going to get my ass killed. and so
we're going to go outside the box for some of these. Just do the.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be tough. But
just do Ashton Martin music. It counts now.
just do that every single song. Yeah, I have a partner. My partner for it, his name's Dion. And we were going over the songs yesterday, and for Ashton Martin music, we were like, I mean, if this one loses, like, there's nothing else we can do at that point. Like,
all right. Check them on Locker Room. We're on Locker Room after every Celtics game, including tonight after Celtics Heat. We'll see you up there for that one late tonight. And that's it. Dome Theory. We'll be back next week with some more interviews. Of course, check out betonline.ag. Use the code CLNS50. We are out.